Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back. 506, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Third hour, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, officially underway, and that means the arrival of Jeff Cooner. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, I was going to talk to you about the debate a little bit, but first I wanted to get to your column today because it has just bounced around the nation. It's called Obama's Watergate, and of course you're going after the Department of Justice and Eric Holder in particular.
Andy, yeah, this baby's gone everywhere. This, I believe, is Obama's fatal scandal. I believe it's his potential Watergate, and it's now growing. It is a cancer on the presidency. It is slowly consuming all of the president's men, and I believe it can reach all the way into the White House. Here we have a major scandal, fast and furious, an operation directly overseen by the ATF under the Justice Department, in which 2,000 weapons, AK-47s, were purchased from legal licensed dealers in Arizona and then illegally smuggled by the U.S. government into Mexico, apparently to track the Mexican drug cartels. 1,400 to 1,500 of those weapons, those assault weapons, are missing. They're lost. Even more, to me, scandalous. 300 Mexicans are dead. These weapons have been used by drug cartels and gang members to murder innocent Mexican civilians. And 1 year ago this week, Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, serving and defending and protecting his nation, was found dead from a from an ambush by drug gangsters, two AK-47s from the Fast and Furious operation were found at the site. Congressional investigators want to understand a few things. Why were these guns smuggled? Why was there this massive illegal ring, a gun running ring? Why was it approved by the ATF? Why was it approved by the Justice Department? How did these weapons get lost? And most importantly, who is to take responsibility for the death of Agent Brian Terry? As Daryl Issa and Chuck Grassley, who have been the point men in the congressional probe, have now found out, senior ATF officials first lied under oath. They deny that they were ever smuggling guns. Then they change their stories. And then, shazam, Andy, when they finally admitted that they were running guns, all of the top managers at ATF, all of those that directly sanctioned and approved and oversaw the gun running operation, every one of them has been transferred and reshuffled to lucrative, cushy, bureaucratic jobs. They are buying their silence. They are buying their complicity. They are deliberately sweeping this under the rug. And now Attorney General is in the crosshair, Eric Holder, and he's been asked, what did you know and when did you know it? And Andy, as many now on the Hill are finding out, you don't run a massive gun smuggling operation, a gun running operation with 2,000 weapons flowing into Mexico, many of them now back in the United States. They've lost track of these weapons. Many more Americans are going to get killed because of these weapons without top administration people knowing about it. It's too big, it's too risky, it's too costly. And so Eric Holder knows exactly what happened. I believe he knew about Fast and Furious. I don't believe him when he says he didn't know about it. He's hiding key emails and key internal memos that will show his complicity. And the bigger question I have is this, Andy, and this is a challenge I'm posing to the mainstream media. What did the president know and when did he know it? Because I don't believe it stops at Eric Holder. I believe this goes all the way to Barack Obama. And unlike Watergate, and I make that point in my column, for all of the abuse of power of Nixon, for all of his political dirty tricks and his bugging and his surveillance, nobody died because of Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Fast and Furious, 300 Mexicans are dead, and to me, even more importantly and more sacrilegious, because I am an American, Agent Brian Terry is dead.
Yep.
His family deserves answers, they want answers, and they should get answers.
You know, it's so sad. The DOJ is worried about suing the states over immigration laws. Now they're going after, you know, America's sheriff, Joe Arpaio. They've made one wrong move after another under this, their leader, Eric Holder, and yet He survives.
They're waging war upon America, and I am choosing my words very carefully. They are siding with illegal aliens, people who violate our law. They're criminals. People who come across our border illegally are criminals. And they're going after their own states, their own governments, their own people. You have the Black Panther case. Here you have, Andy, it's on tape. This to me is remarkable. It's on tape. You have members of the new Black Panther Party in the election in 2008 at Philadelphia polling office, at a polling booth, waving batons, threatening white voters, telling them if they come in there, they're going to get their skulls cracked. It's on tape. The Justice Department refuses to prosecute blatant voter intimidation and abuse of power. And then you have career justice lawyers who resign and then publicly say, I heard it from Eric Holder's mouth. He will not prosecute any case in which there's a black perpetrator and a white victim. So what is Eric Holder doing, to me, still being as the head of the Justice Department? I believe he is an out-of-control attorney general. I believe now that he is up to his eyeballs in illegality. I believe he sanctioned an illegal operation, and I believe he must be held accountable and responsible ultimately for the death of Brian Perry, for committing perjury, for suborning perjury, and for obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's covering up Obama. I believe he's not just protecting himself and his cronies. I believe this goes all the way to the top. And if the liberal media was truly serious, they could all win a Pulitzer Prize.
Yep. All right, very quickly, I wanted to touch base with you on the debate last night. I wanted to know if you thought there was one winner or loser in the debate.
I thought Gingrich at times was brilliant. I thought Romney did extremely well. For the first time, he actually came across as Reagan-esque. I believe he did extremely well. I thought Bachman did phenomenally well.
Yeah.
I believe it's now between the three of them. I think what's going to happen, Andy, is that Gingrich's support is hemorrhaging. You have a lot of conservatives who are now turning against him. Romney has taken it up to a different level. And I have to tell you, Bachman did him a lot of favors last night by going after Gingrich on Freddie Mac, on his support for Republicans who supported partial birth abortion. She was his hatchet man last night. Don't be surprised if you see a Romney-Bachman ticket.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it was almost like she was setting him up for the kill last night. And Romney, he took a different path. He didn't go after Gingrich. It was almost as if he was sitting back, letting Newt, at some point, he figures he's going to self-destruct, and then Romney will take over. And you may be onto something here. It looks like it could be Romney-Bachman.
Yeah, he's above the fray. I have to say, I know we have to go, Andy, but when he said, you know, in, like Reagan in 79-80, we were in decline because of Carter. We're in decline now because of Obama. We will be in decline if Obama stays in power, but with me, I will reverse our decline. He had moments last night where I said, you know what? He's starting to come across as Reagan-esque. And with Bachman just taking it to Gingrich, taking out his main opponent, honestly, I think Bachman's going to do well. I think Gingrich is still going to be up there, but he's got a long, tough fight. I believe in the end, right now, as of today, Andy, it is now Mitt Romney's to lose.
Yeah. And with Bachman, the truer conservative at his side, that kind of takes some of the pressure off Romney.
Well, I mean, you know, think about it. You put Bachman on the ticket, it allays the conservative base. More than that, people in the South, a lot of evangelicals who may have questions about Romney's Mormonism, you don't get more evangelical or more Christian than Michelle Bachman.
Yeah, true.
Plus, she appeals to female voters.
Sure.
I think she's from Minnesota, which is going to be a key swing state. She adds a lot to the table. Romney Bachman is unbeatable in 2012.
Yep. All right, Jeff, have a great weekend. We'll talk Monday.
God bless you, Andy.
All right, see you. Jeff Cooner of the Washington Times, 5:14, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.